Sergey here. So we won't be hosting our families for the holidays this year, but let's look on the bright side. Got an aunt with some zany theories? Just mute her on the family video calls. A hippie cousin that bring new wave sludge to Réveillon? Not this year. To protect your family's health and safety, it's important you stay home and enjoy the peace and quiet.
Put your pants on, time to shovel the driveway.
Right away, hon. Safe holidays. Let's keep our spirits up.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Still looking for a holiday gift or two for the special people in your life? CKUT has new merch, including hoodies and t-shirts, that showcase classic designs dug up from our art attic. Head to ckut.ca to discover our new merch store and find out more about sizing and shipping. Happy holidays from all of us at CKUT. Welcome to the December 14th edition of Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. On tonight's episode, I sat down with musician and comedian Eve Parker Finley to talk about the release of her new album, Chrysalia. Don't change the dial, you're listening to Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM. Are you a queer artist or activist in the Montreal area who wants a platform to discuss your work? Interested in producing radio for Queercore on CKUT? Send an email to queercoreradio@ckut.ca. That's Q-U-E-E-R-C-O-R-P-S radio@ckut.ca.
Oh my God, I'm so relieved. Why? COVID. It's like over. What? COVID's over. Why would you think that? I don't know, like they have a vaccine and like, I don't know, I feel like I just wanna hang out with friends. I don't think that's how it works. I don't know, it's been a long time, so. Yeah, it's cause it's still here, huh? Is it though? Yeah. Does it matter though? Yeah. I'm gonna go. Yeah, me too. I'll talk to you, never.
Welcome back to Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca. The time is 6:05 And you were just listening to a popular TikTok by none other than this evening's guest, Eve Parker Finley. Okay, so I admit, maybe TikTok doesn't really translate well onto radio. I think it's a lot more about what's not being said on TikTok than what is being said. Nonetheless, you can check out Eve's comedic videos on TikTok and on YouTube under the exact same username, Eve Parker Finley. Eve joined me on this evening's show to discuss her new album, Chrysalia, what it's been like to release an album during the pandemic, and her unexpected success as a viral comedienne. My conversation with Eve Parker Finley. Welcome to QueerCore. I wish I was cooking you dinner or something. I don't know if you've listened to Jessie J and her mother. Not Jessie J. Jessie Ware and her mother have this podcast where they have people over and they cook them dinner. Have you listened to that?
No, but I love that concept.
Yeah, I think it's like it's obviously a pre-COVID concept, but I think the Zoom alternative to it would be really funny, where everyone just orders Skip the Dishes or whatever and just is like eating in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. No, there was a really good one with Kylie Minogue, and I don't even like, I'm not even a Kylie Minogue fan, but I really enjoyed it. And also with Carly Rae Jepsen, which I'm a fan of. Yes. So this table talk is, I don't have any white wine or like pasta scallops to offer you, but
I've got that covered for myself, thank you. At least one or two of those things.
Okay, do you want to introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. I am Eve Parker Finley. I am a musician, I'm a producer, I play lots of instruments, and I'm a budding social media comedian, overall media maker, music maker person.
You're really busy these days. I feel like the end of 2020, things are really coming together for you. Yeah. Tell us
I'm glad that's the perception.
Well, that's the image that you're putting out there, right? You are very busy. You're producing a lot of stuff. I feel like you're producing a short comedy video at least a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you had an album release last Friday, was it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a week. There we go.
Yeah.
Really beautiful album. I've been listening to it a lot.
Yeah.
It's really eclectic. No, it is.
Thank you. No, I take that as a compliment. It's just, yeah.
Maybe it's not. I really had to pull out the thesaurus and I learned how to pronounce eclectic. No, I'm kidding. But
it's not an easy word.
Yeah. Yeah. Some songs have vocals, others not so much. I read that the process, or kind of the theme of the album being called, is Chrysalia, right?
Chrysalia,
yeah.
I'm always curious how people are going to pronounce it, because it is a made-up word, just to clarify.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel a little better about it. Because I had a moment where I was like, wait, Chrysalia, is that a word? Is that what it's called? Obviously, I mean, you've written about this in the press release, and I guess the album to you is about transformation.
Mm.
Specifically about how transformation is not necessarily a beautiful process or like a clean process, and it's not about rest. So when the larval form of the butterfly is, you know, I think we just depict it, whether it's Planet Earth documentaries or in fiction or whatever, it's like kind of portrayed as a beautiful process. What you're saying is this transformation is not always so cut and dry. It's actually quite chaotic. I think you used GUI as a way to
GUI.
So can you tell us a bit about your thoughts on the process of writing and creating this album? Maybe how long it took, what you were sort of thinking of and going through when you were pulling together these songs?
Totally. I mean, just to pick up on what you were just saying too, the other reason why I am drawn to the chrysalis idea thing is I think that's such a like prevalent metaphor in like queer and trans community too, that you know, so many of us have gone through some sort of like gender, sexuality, transformation, and we often use this metaphor of like the cocoon to a butterfly. So, you know, I wanted to I like playing with that too, but also investigating the like more messy parts of that transformation, which I think is also just more accurate to what it looks like in queer and trans people's lives too. The song writing process, a bunch of those songs are like they've been in my life for like a couple years, and you know, this set of songs in particular was the first set of songs where I started moving more into like electronic music production. Before that, I had been writing a lot of songs very based on like violin and violin loops, and then I would maybe add a few other things, and that's a lot of my music under the name Lonely Boy was like that. But this was a chance to like, I started learning Ableton and I started playing around with synthesizers and stuff. And over the years, like wrote these songs and rewrote them and played them and then like found their like final forms, at least for now. And then in the summer of 2019, I worked with my friend Kai Brooks, who engineered the album, recorded it, mixed it. And we recorded it over a couple days in the summer, July, June, 2018. That was a really fun couple days. It was just the two of us working on it together. And then we mixed it. They mixed it for the next few months and we mastered it in November, 2019. And then I've been working over the last year to figure out how to birth it into the world.
And what a year process that must have been to kind of figure out when was the right time to release it. Did you, at the beginning of the year, did you know that it was going to come out sort of towards the fall or the beginning of winter? Or did it kind of just seem like a moment in time where, obviously, a lot of people think that the pandemic is over and it's not over right now, but
isn't it? I'm just kidding. I just feel like it is over, isn't it? I'm over it. Is that the same? Is that the same thing?
The pandemic isn't over just because
God, iconic song. I'm being sarcastic for people who are listening and don't know me. Of course, it's not over.
You're like a TikTok politician now. You have to be careful about what you say. You have to have a response for everything, you know, about like the efficacy of vaccines and like whether they were created under like too short of a time frame.
Oh my god,
is there attention?
Is this too much pressure?
Where were we? Yeah, so did you feel like there was a bit of a lull in the momentum of quarantine, in which you saw an opening or like a period where now was really the time to release this transformed creature from Chrysalia into the world?
Nice. Well, okay. Here's the thing with this album is I really, with this piece of work, you know, in the past, I've released two EPs. I've like posted a song here and there. All the time I've released music before this album, it's been kind of like haphazard. And because it's just sort of very much in like a DIY spirit of like sharing, hey, I made these songs. I made this song. Here it is, and posting on the internet. this album, I really wanted to try and like give it the proper like send off and launch that it deserved, which meant that I had to learn what it meant to like actually try and release an album in a more like concerted and like strategic way. So a lot of this past year has been learning about that, and it's been a really good growing experience. The two labels that I found, Florifung Records and Coke's Records, have been really supportive in like helping me figure out all the things that need to be to do to make this album more of a thing. So the reason it came out when it did last Friday on December 4th is because it like actually took a year to find the label, make the relationship, design the art, make the video. All these things take so much time. So I've had the date December 4th sort of on the calendar since the summer. It was really fun to like learn all that stuff. And it's also just really obscure, and which is why now I think in the coming year, I'm going to feel a lot more motivated to like help to like share what I've learned with other people. Especially other like queer and trans musicians who are trying to like launch an album. Cause there's a lot that goes into it, and it's really exciting and cool, but also can be very overwhelming and opaque. Was that the question?
Well, that was the answer. What has it been like to be a musician? Because you've kind of shifted your focus, yeah, I guess, in life to being a full-time musician. And I guess most recently also, dare I say, an influencer or a content creator?
Oh, my
creator?
God.
I mean, regardless of you're influencing people, you're coming into people's homes or into people's palms with their mm-hmm. little smartphones and offering them much needed humor. But yeah, so I guess you made a serious shift or mm-hmm. decision to kind of shift towards focusing on music, not anticipating, I guess, that the pandemic was going to evolve as it did. What's it been like this past year being a musician in the pandemic? I mean, I was lucky enough to catch you on the rooftop at the Rialto for Pop Montreal earlier on in the fall, which mm-hmm. was a really incredible late afternoon show. And it was kind of like an experiment in mm-hmm. reimagining how we're gathering. There was only about like 20 people there. So for those of you who were not there, who are listening, everyone was kind of, it was on the rooftop. Everyone was spaced apart from each other. And then everyone was wearing masks. And you were positioned with the beautiful backdrop of the Mile End of Montreal and the mountain in the background. But yeah, it was quite an interesting experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, there's a lot in there. This has been a really big year for me. A year ago, this same time around, I played in my friend Basha Boulad's band in Ottawa. And that was like the biggest show I've ever played. I was in her band. I wasn't playing my own music, but it was a pretty transformative experience, because leading up to that moment, I'd already been thinking like, wow, I really wish I had more time to spend on music. And then, yeah, being able to connect with so many people was so cool. And then after that, also getting my masters from my album, and just at the same time being really stressed out at my really intense, demanding job at McGill. So that led to me in January, February, having quite a like mental health burnout and needing to take some time away from work and that job. And that leave of absence turned into a longer leave of absence, which then overlapped with the beginning of the first lockdown season one. Then I like really spent some time being like, what do I want to do with my life? What do I want to be doing with my time? And where's the best use of my like energy, and how can I reorient my life in a way where I'm like doing things that give me joy? And so then I left my job, or my contract ended, and yeah, I went full force into like trying to figure out how to be a musician. And you know, I'm still figuring that out. God bless the CERB and unemployment for like being a bridge. but you know, a cool thing is, yeah, I've released this album now, and I also recently got a grant to work on the second album in the coming year. So somehow, you know, it's like, it's actually starting to materialize and work itself out, which is really, really cool. And at the same time, over the last month and a half, I've been experimenting with like other ways to use other like things I can make and share on social media and stuff. And that's also been a really interesting like experiment. And a lot of my like TikTok comedian things have really been going all over, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I think you made the joke recently that you can almost do everything, but you can't dance.
That is, yeah, that's, yeah. I can't dance, but I am going to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Through TikTok, right? TikTok dancing.
I can't make a TikTok dance of myself. I can't make myself do it.
There's like a trend right now where people are dancing to the Empire Flooring theme on TikTok.
It is a strange and wonderful place, that application.
So where does the humor come from? Have you always been funny your whole life? have you ever thought about focusing on humor? Have you ever done stand-up? When you were growing up, did people tell you, wow, you're really funny? Like the way you're using humor. I know I use humor as a coping mechanism. It's mm-hmm. like, wow, the world is a mess. Let's laugh mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things. Like, it's funny, my friend, like when I first started sharing these videos, my friend was like, who I've known for a long time, said something like, you know, you've always been funny, but I didn't know you were a comedian. Because those are two different things, you know, like, and you know, I've always been a jokey person. I've always like, I think been someone who's enjoyed making my friends laugh. I've always enjoyed, unlike a lot of musicians, I've always enjoyed stage banter between songs. and yeah, I mean, I grew up in a family where my dad was super funny. He's like such a funny man. And we would watch lots of comedy. That was a very like family media that we would consume. And yeah, I mean, I started watching. Yeah, I think there was actually, I think this has been a year of the, like, there's always been like people making really short, like social media comedy, but I think this has been like a particular year where that style genre of comedy has really been exploding. Ever since the lockdown, and we're all spending so much time on our phones. And that's like in March is when I downloaded TikTok, like a lot of millennials. And
the millennials have been slow to join TikTok, and I guess some of us are not being well received. I feel like we joke differently, but there are people like you who are quite successful on TikTok.
I guess so. I mean, it's so weird. I'm clearly still having a hard time, you know, like processing it, because, you know, I'm still just like in my apartment alone. Like so much of my actual physical corporeal time over the last, since the first lockdown, has been a lot of time alone. And yet at the same time, I'm also like, I have a bigger internet audience than I ever have. And it's weird, that cognitive dissonance is very strange. I talk about in therapy all the time.
Well, I think, we're in this different era where it was almost an industry, whether it's comedy or acting, television, that was so hard to break into. You needed to get an agent. You needed to like relocate to like New York City or Los Angeles if you were, you know, wanted to do television. And you had to spend all of your time going to like workshops and doing commercial bits or just kind of fighting over crumbs. And it's funny, we talked about this last week when I had my friend Meenakshi on Queer Core, and she was talking, we were talking about social media and people organizing through social media and how, you know, Instagram, unfortunately, is not made for the things that people are kind of subverting it to, you know, that like the defund the police movement, where people are sharing this on social media and they're kind of making little infographics that can be shared very quickly and everyone can kind of like, it's a form of popular education. But I think Instagram was made to like create celebrity, right? So yeah, we've seen these people like Jordan Firstman and Caitlin Riley and Chloe Fineman, and you know, like all these funny people that have kind of just started doing their thing and it gets shared and people notice, and then all of a sudden they're like making Versace mini movies.
You saw that too.
It was great. I like how
it was funny.
I definitely understand and can see how it's wild that you haven't left like your apartment, your bedroom, and your comedy is just kind of like making the waves and being really well received.
Yeah. It's also a funny thing to navigate, you know, these platforms are, the algorithms are so entrenched in all the like systems of oppression that everything else exists in. And, you know, like there's a lot of discussion about that, especially on TikTok, which is a platform that's even more built around like randomness and virality. And yeah. And like, therefore also like beauty and whiteness and cisness and straightness and all these, like all these things that make, that help determine whether someone becomes like viral or not on that platform. But at the same time, there's also lots of super interesting subversion happening in those places, and tons of hilarious like queer creators on TikTok and elsewhere. And it's really cool. It's really cool to see. But
yeah, I think of the TikTok I've been following, what I really like, and I think what is quite popular amongst some circles, is this kind of like absurdity where people are kind of like failing at an attempt to create something, and then it becomes, it's not like we're laughing at the person, but we're just like, this is genius, you know? What kind of humor do you like? Like, what do you gravitate towards? Is it like absurdity, irony? Like, obviously you play all of your characters. And I think that's a really interesting part of TikTok, right? Is that you can kind of just be a character and you don't have to do the makeup and you don't have to like change your outfit.
Totally. Or your background. Yeah. I was going to say something about what you just said, but now I can't remember what it is. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just that it's interesting because I think like, you know, each social media thing responds to what came before it, you know, or what's existing while it gains traction. And I think the interesting thing about TikTok is exactly what you're saying, the absurdity, because I think Instagram has been so defined over the last decade or whatever as like showing off the pressure is to show off a perfect life. And TikTok has that a little bit too, but it's different. There's also such a like chaotic, messy, very like, you know, it has a very mentality of like 2000s kind of pop culture of like weird and absurd and maximalist and strange and ugly, ugly cool. But so my For You page, my like TikTok feed is full of like, it's quite mixed. There's like, you know, there's some cooking tutorials, there's some like funny comedians. Caitlin Riley, for example, is all over my thing. Some other like queer comedians I follow. Also a bunch of like weird, absurd thing, videos that don't make any sense. Some music things too. I like some musicology-esque creators. Yeah, kind of a big mix. The cool thing about it is like, it's actually started to connect me with people who I don't think I would connect with otherwise. Like, there was this station in Philly, radio station in Philly that shared one of my songs on a program. And they found the music through TikTok, which I think is just so cool. And like, unlike Instagram, half of the people who follow me on TikTok are from the States. We're not from Canada.
Huh. I got so much Quebec TikTok. Like, you like one Quebecois video and it just keeps pouring in. I ended up on North Korean TikTok the other day, I think. Mm.
I've seen that too. I've seen that too. It's very strange. I wonder what's going on beyond. Yeah.
Is such a weird thing. I really love Patty Harrison. I don't know if she's on TikTok.
Oh, I don't know her.
She's a trans writer. Very weird, very absurd. She's a writer for Big Mouth, the Netflix show. Mm. And I'm reading right now that she is known for her appearance on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, where she made jokes about Donald Trump's ban on transgender people in the military. Anyways, she's great. She's on Instagram for sure. Yeah. No, it's fun. TikTok is a fun medium. I like it for cooking as well. I think if you kind of get into the intense pasta algorithm, I'm like liking all these videos thinking that one day I'm going to cook all these fancy pastas on this like Italian gas stove.
Yeah, totally.
In the future.
It's a fantasy.
It is a fantasy. Would you ever do stand-up? Things open up again, like, is stand-up even are we going back to stand-up or
I mean, we were really having a stand-up moment, I feel, right before in the last few years. I used to make a joke, I feel like I made this joke to someone in like 2018, but that stand-up comics were the new DJs, because it felt like everyone that I knew was like trying to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, right. I was going to say, I've never been to a stand-up comic show in Montreal, but that's not true. I went to the fundraiser that Taking What We Need did at Concordia.
Yeah, me too. They did a bunch of really cool shows. And the one time, I have done stand-up one time. I don't talk about it very much. I didn't tell any of my close friends that I was doing it, but it was at a Taking What We Need Slut Island stand-up night. A few years ago.
Okay.
At the old KGB. But in terms of post-lockdown stand-up, I don't know. I'm curious about it. I found it really intimidating when I did it. Because it's just something new to me. And I'm curious about it. I really am, over the next few months, I'm definitely going to get even more into creating more video comedy content and on YouTube too. Which I feel like has overlaps with stand-up, but also is its own thing. But yeah, when it comes back, I'm down. I'm so down.
I like how I think we're closer to saying when it comes back. I think if you had asked me, or if I had asked you this a month ago, it would have been if and when the pandemic ends. And now that we're kind of finally in conversation around getting vaccines out, it seems like, oh, maybe we're going to have a summer. Again, who knows?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Totally.
It must be exciting for all of us.
It's definitely exciting. It's been a weird year to be a musician too, because part of the joy for me anyway, and a lot of people, is to make music and see people's reactions. And to it's quite a interesting collective human experience, and to take people somewhere through music, and to not be able to do that in person is a big hole. And I know I did that show in the summer, which was really special, but I'm very much looking forward to being able to do that again with people. But at the same time, it's also been, it's opened up some new possibilities. And the album launch show that I did for the album was a 25 minute YouTube show. Half of it was sketch comedy, half of it was music performance. And I don't know that I would have done that in the before times. And I'm really glad that I did, because I've always wanted to do something like that.
Yeah, it allows you to edit something together that's really concise. I think people were comparing you to ContraPoints because of your lighting.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like transgender woman with like pink lighting.
Bisexual lighting.
Yeah. Bisexual lighting. There we go.
Exactly.
Who are you really loving musically right now? Like locally or otherwise? What are you listening to? What should people be listening to?
Besides your album. Besides my album, my like listening playlist is always a funny mix of like, you know, straight up mainstream pop music, house and techno music, like weird indie pop, some sad like indie folk, occasionally some like more R&B or hip hop things. Definitely a mix of things. I'm always nervous about naming people because I don't want anyone to be left off. But
that's an easy out. Wow.
How about this? I made a playlist with also Cool Mag magazine in October. And that has like all of my favorite Montreal musicians on it. Tanya Iyer, Sarah Rossi, Adelaia, Cedric Noel, Body Wash, Kesis, Desert Bloom, Nick Schofield, Huali, Jeanette King, Marie's, Alex Nicol, Elle Barbara, so many people. Okay. The city is full of amazing musicians.
Shout out to Elle Barbara.
Yeah, seriously.
My God.
Icon.
That cover of ACJ's and wow.
Mm-hmm. That's the song that I have on this playlist. It's wicked.
Okay. What holiday song do you really love right now? If you had to choose between It's Not Christmas Till Somebody Cries by Carly Rae Jepsen or Oh Santa by Mariah Carey, Jennifer Hudson, and Ariana Grande.
I'm not a Christmas music person. I'm not.
But you have to choose.
I'm not. I thought this was going to be a secular interview. You're going to ask me to name a song to celebrate the birth of Christ?
In order to ensure our radio funding, Legault asked me to specifically.
Yeah.
Prior
Christmas. Yeah, this year for the celebration. This year for the celebration of Christ, I aim to listen to definitely is that so I haven't listened to any of those songs.
Okay, Christmas.
But
aside.
is the one that you mentioned with Mariah Carey and Ariana Grande, is that the one where they do the whistle like harmonization thing?
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. It's a song that actually Mariah Carey I think wrote and released 10 years ago. And I think her new Christmas special is basically her covering herself. So she's taking all of her
iconic.
Home. Yeah, I think it's super iconic. There's like this self-reflexivity to it, right? She's like, I'm relevant, and also like I'm kind of like polishing myself and making fun of myself and building upon myself. It's very queer.
It's very much like what happens in the cocoon, in the chrysalis.
What does happen in the chrysalis?
I don't know. I really need to read some more scientific articles about it. But instead of doing that, I wrote an album about it.
Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot with Christmas music.
No, I love it. It's good.
Have you heard the new Miley album?
No, but someone else was telling me about it.
It's really fun. It's fun. I've never been a Miley Cyrus fan, per se. But I feel like 2020 has... The world has given us a lot of really beautiful pop music.
Agreed.
You know, like Fiona Apple kind of really started off my quarantine. Mm-hmm. Was that in March, I think?
It's hard to remember.
And do you have anything upcoming that you want to plug?
None other than like if people want to support the music, then to visit my Bandcamp, which is just eveparkerfinley.bandcamp.com. And, you know, catch me on every single social media platform where content can be created and shared because I'm probably there.
Yeah, follow her on TikTok. What's your handle on TikTok?
It's all everywhere. It's Eve Parker Finley.
I remember when you were assigned Libra at birth. I think we had already met by that point. So when you kind of did that RIP assigned Libra at birth post the other night, I was like, yeah, I remember that for sure.
That was such an iconic handle. That was my favorite, but RIP.
Well, you can have like a Finsta or like a burner, like Twitter or something where...
Who's to say I don't already?
Okay, everyone. So
I don't. Please don't try and find me. I need peace.
Yeah, I'm sure you're like getting a lot of messages and people wanted to know where you lived recently.
Although to be fair, that was my own doing because I started this TikTok challenge being like, guess where I live, which was a mistake. And like 10,000 people watched those videos and now everyone knows what neighborhood I live in. Which is fine. It's a little on the edge of weird, but it's fine. I did run into someone on the street who was like, hey, are you that person from TikTok? And that's like the first time that's ever happened to me, and it was wild.
Oh my God. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Eve, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Eve Parker Finley's album, Chrysalia, is out now on Floraphone Records and Cokes Records. You can get it in any form, I believe, vinyl, CD, and cassette even. And a zine, okay. And are you doing like local drop-off or is it just shipping?
Shipping is easier for me, but if you don't want to pay the shipping, you can message me about it, but
you know where she lives. She's made that very public and clear. So.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Queer Core on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. The time is 6:42 p.m. You were just listening to my interview with Eve Parker Finley about her new album, Chrysalia, which is out now. For the rest of the hour, we're going to be playing some tracks from that album, including Space Jam, Electrofeu, and Alone Together. Thanks for tuning into Queer Core, and however you are celebrating the wintry holiday season, I hope you have a great time surrounded by those you're allowed to be surrounded by and connected through other mediums to those people that perhaps you're missing. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you in the new year.
Sege here. So we won't be hosting our families for the holidays this year, but let's look on the bright side. Got an aunt with some zany theories? Just mute her on the family video calls. A hippie cousin that bring new wave sludge to Réveillon? Not this year. To protect your family's health and safety, it's important you stay home and enjoy the peace and quiet.
Put your pants on! Time to shovel the driveway!
Right away, hon. Safe holidays. Let's keep our spirits up.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, Feminist Waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy.
The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance.
We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. On today's show, we spoke with Hannah Harris-Sutro and Marika Hendricks on their event, Quarantine Somatic for Queers. We spoke about the event itself, embodied healing, and activism. Later on in the show is our interview with Tiger Lotus Co-op on some similar topics, including embodied healing. But up first is our interview with Hannah Harris-Sutro and Marika Hendricks.
So my name is Hannah, and I'm a somatics practitioner and facilitator who has been doing support work in Montreal's mostly queer communities since I first moved here in 2006.